Good morning. We appreciate your remaining here for Wednesday, which does have some of the more exciting presentations. This is the medical care session on health economics, preventable and non-preventable costs. One of the scheduled presenters has not yet arrived. I don't know if that presentation will occur or not. That's the one by Arpit Misra at 11. So what we're going to do is we are going to start on time. We'll give a little extra time for some immediate questions. And then at the end of the session, we'll hold open for additional questions if any of the panelists are able to remain. Dr. Nemet has the first presentation. He has to scurry off to the airport, so therefore he won't be able to stay to the very end. But we will have time for hopefully a couple of questions at least after his presentation. So Dr. Nemet has come all the way from Bronx, from Harlem Hospital, to be with us today just for this presentation and session. Through it over to you. Thank you for coming. Or you can right-click on the mouse.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Hashim Nemet, and I'm the at the time of my study, I was actually doing a geriatric medicine fellowship at Long Island Jewish Medical Center in New York. And currently, I'm doing a gastroenterology fellowship at Harlem Hospital Center, which is affiliated with Columbia University in the New York City. So today, actually, I'll be talking about the injudicious use and questionable need of repeat stool ELISA A and B testing in the diagnosis of Clostridium difficile-associated diarrhea, abbreviated here and in the rest of my presentation as CDAD. So this is my disclosure statement, and I actually do not have any relationships to disclose. Let's start with some of the learning objectives of my today's presentation. And they are to recognize the significant increase in the prevalence, severity, and mortality of the CDAD, to describe the relationship of physicians' ordering patterns on overutilization of CDAD testing, to articulate the impact of overutilization of CDAD testing on cost burden for healthcare organizations, and last but not the least, to identify the optimal physician's ordering pattern that maximizes CDAD diagnosis and minimizes the cost of testing. Okay, let's talk about some basics here. So what is actually Clostridium difficile? It's a bacteria which normally lives in the intestine but normally does not cause the disease. Certain antibiotics can actually disrupt the regular environment in the intestines, and that actually gives the opportunity to this bacteria to flourish and cause the disease. It is responsible for 1 out of 4 hospital-acquired antibiotic-associated diarrhea and affects as many as 10% of the patients who are hospitalized for more than 2 days. The incidence in the United States is on the rise, and 3 million new cases are diagnosed every year. It causes disease by producing 2 exotoxins, namely toxin A and B, and stool ELISA is the test which actually detects these exotoxins in the stool and is the most commonly and widely used diagnostic test. Let's get into some technicalities. So in the past, actually, the only toxin A was considered the main pathogenic factor, and the stool ELISA, which is the most commonly used diagnostic test, was designed to detect only this single exotoxin. So this test, ELISA A, actually had a low sensitivity of 63% to 99%. It's a wide range, and the chances of getting a false negative results were really high. And this actually led to a common practice that physicians were ordering, you know, typically multiple stool samples, typically C. diff times 3, and they were, you know, in an attempt to pick up, you know, some of the diagnosed, some of the cases who actually had C. diff but had negative initial samples because of the high false negative results. So later, actually, it was realized that toxin B was also a pathogenic factor, and there were multiple reports which reported that toxin A negative and B positive strain was increasing worldwide, and that was actually associated with significant mortality and morbidity. And accordingly, ELISA A was modified to detect toxin A and B both, and this test, toxin A and ELISA A and B, actually had improved sensitivity of 85% to 95%, and this test actually had a comparable sensitivity to those two, the cytotoxin test, which is 94% to 100%. This is the gold standard test, stool type of cytotoxin, but it's not very widely used in the clinical practice because of 2 reasons. A, it's a very expensive test. B, it takes almost 3 to 5 days before the result is available, as opposed to the ELISA, actually, which is cheaper relatively, and the results are available within only 4 to 6 hours. So thus, the question actually arises, when we are using ELISA A and B, which has high sensitivity and low false negative results, the need of repeat testing, you know, routinely, which was done in the past, becomes questionable. But yet physicians continue to order multiple stool ELISA testing when using ELISA A and B. At the present, there are no clear guidelines specifying the optimal number of the stool ELISA A and B tests which should be ordered in the diagnostic workup of CD80. The most current guidelines, actually the clinical practice guidelines, were published by the Society of Healthcare Epidemiology and Infectious Disease Society of America. They were released in 1995. And they do mention that by ordering three stool samples, the likelihood of getting a positive result increased by 10%. But at the same time, they do mention that it's not going to be a cost-effective practice management, and then, you know, that should be avoided. The new guidelines are under progress, and most likely they're going to be out in spring of 2009. So basically, what are we trying to do here? We are trying to evaluate the diagnostic utility of repeat stool ELISA A and B testing in the event when the initial tests are negative. Let's talk about some methods here. So my study was a retrospective study of the database of all stool ELISA A and B, which were ordered at our major teaching hospital between March of 2004 to September of 2007. We actually included all the adult patients who were admitted to the hospital during the above mentioned time period, who were tested for the presumed diagnosis of CD-AD using stool ELISA A and B, and there were no exclusion criteria. Tests which were completed within the 5 days of the first stool sample were grouped into a single episode. We looked at the age, gender, and total number of stool tests in each episode. We also actually looked at the physician's ordering patterns and proportion of positive stools relative to number of tests ordered. Only the first three samples which were ordered during the first 5 days time period were analyzed, even though there were multiple episodes in which more than three tests were ordered. So if we just restrict ourselves to looking at the three tests within those 5 days time period, these are the possible scenarios and, you know, different possible ordering patterns. You know, negative, not ordered, negative, negative, negative. It looks complex, but, you know, that's how we collected our data. And then we looked into each and every single physician ordering pattern and to see, you know, what were the different patterns the physician were actually ordering it and whether that was evidence-based or it was erratic or it made sense or not. So these are actually the episodes, 1,165 episodes, in which the C. diff was actually diagnosed. And these are the ordering patterns in those particular episodes. So if you look at the first line, so these are the episodes in which the first and the second test was negative and the diagnosis was picked on the third test. And this represents only 2% of 1,165 diarrhea episodes. And if we look at the line number 2, 3, and 4, so these are the all episodes in which the test was picked up on the second test, the diagnosis was made on the second test after having an initial negative result. And if we combine these percentages, it comes to around 8%. And rest of the 90% of the episodes, all of them, you know, these are the 90% altogether, the diagnosis, whenever it was there, it was made on the very first test. So what were our results? We looked at 3,712 patients who contributed to 5,865 separate diarrhea episodes, during which 9,178 stool ELISA A and B tests were ordered. So out of those 5,865 episodes, 1,165 were positive, which is close to 20%. And out of these 1,165, 1,046, which is close to 90%, were diagnosed on the very first test. 95, which is 9%, 8% on the second test, and only 24 episodes, which is close to the 2%, on the third test after having two negative samples. So there were 1,934 instances where the first test was negative and the second test was ordered, and only 95, which is close to 5% of the second test, became positive. And in 793 episodes, a third test was ordered after two negative samples, and out of these third tests, only 24, which is close to 3% of the tested episodes, became positive. The most frequent ordering pattern was a single stool test in 60% of the cases, followed by two tests in 23% of the cases, and three tests which were ordered in 16.6% of the cases. So now let's look at those numbers in a diagrammatic manner. So this was our sample size, 5,865 diarrhea episodes. Only 20% of them were positive, and 80% actually tested negative for the C. diff. Even though, because of the large sample size, we did not look at the risk factors, but, you know, I think it's going to be a reasonable assumption that because this test is, you know, that has high sensitivity, so if we were ordering it only in those patients who had known risk factors for the C. diff and high pretest probability, we should be picking up more than 20% of the cases. So this in itself means that, you know, we are actually testing it. Perhaps we are over-testing it and ordering in everybody who is presenting with diarrhea, regardless whether they have risk factors or whether their pretest probability is high or not. So these are 1,165 positive episodes. And if you see this, 90% of the 90% of the time the diagnosis was made on the very first test, and 8% of the time on first negative and second test. And there were only 2% of episodes, positive episodes, in which the first two tests were negative and the third test became positive. So if we look at the yield of the repeat testing, so in the close to 2,000 episodes, the first test was negative and the second test was still ordered. And out of those second tests, you see this 95%, they still remained negative, and only 5% became positive. And if in an episode, first two samples were negative and the test was still ordered at the third time, the 97% of the time it remained negative and only 3% of the time it became positive. So which means that, you know, the negative predictive value of the first test is actually, you know, is reasonably good. And you can have some kind of confidence if you have first negative test that it's going to be a true negative. Well, even if we are picking the diagnosis in 98% of the time during the two tests, and the yield of repeat testing is very, very low, still there were 982 episodes in which three or more tests were ordered. You know, out of these 982, 80% of the time three tests, and 16% of the time four tests, 3% of the time five, and 1% of the time six or more tests were ordered within the 5 days time period. So this kind of gives you an idea, you know, how erratic the physician's ordering patterns are, you know, when it comes to ordering this test in the diagnosis of CD-AD. And we should care about these findings because there are 3 million new cases of CD-AD in U.S. each year. The cost of a stool ELISA was $48 in our institute. It may very well be much higher than this in other hospitals. So these 3 million times 48, actually, this translates into 144 million per year. And by the way, the actual cost of testing is actually much higher than this. Simply because, one, all these 3 million episodes are not diagnosed on the one test, and the multiple tests most probably were ordered to diagnose these 3 million new cases. B, in our study, only 20% of the tested patients episodes were positive for CD-AD. And if that is true for these 3 million new cases, that means that these 3 million cases only represent the 20% of the tested episodes. So you can very well imagine that how much more money was spent in actually testing the rest of the 80% episodes which had diarrhea but did not have the actual CD-AD. So what are our conclusions? Physicians' ordering patterns of stool ELISA tests are inconsistent and highly variable. Majority of the positive CD-AD episodes are diagnosed on the very first test. That's 90% of the time. Diagnostic yield of repeat testing, especially after two negative samples, is very low. That's close to 3%. Given low diagnostic yield and increased cost of repeat testing, the workup of CD-AD should be limited to one, or in cases with high clinical suspicion, to no more than two tests. And that's why use of routine ordering of C. diff times 3 should be avoided. And CD-AD testing-related cost is a major financial burden for the healthcare system. And that is why clear guidelines for the diagnostic use of ELISA A and B should be established so that physicians can become educated consumers by adhering to those guidelines and thus can practice evidence-based medicine. Thank you very much for your attention. Since I'll be leaving before the end of the session, if there are any burning questions, I'll take them right now. If you allow.
Yes.
Yes, we have time, I guess. Yes, please. No, there is no financial incentive. It's just that because the disease, actually, the symptomatology can vary from mild diarrhea to a significant severe colitis, which has significant mortality. I think we just get nervous and we just don't want to miss this diagnosis. And that's why we just tend to order it multiple times because the comfort level is more of a comfort level thing rather than anything else. Yes, please.
I was wondering, did your slide show that there were cases where you had a positive on the first test, but subsequent tests were still ordered?
Yes, and that is actually the most likely explanation for that. That is that, you know, when the patient comes in and you're considering this diagnosis, you would order C. diff times 3. So what's going to happen is, you know, regardless of looking at the first result, you know, it will automatically be ordered 3 times. And that's actually, you know, that's what I'm trying to highlight here. You know, that's not the good practice, and that's where all the money is being wasted, actually. Yes, please. What ordered?
Well, they probably have already been ordered, but
yes. Yeah, I'm not sure about the exact percentage, but there were actually, you know, quite a few episodes in which there were 3 positive tests, or even actually after having 3 positive, there were actually even 6 or 7 tests ordered within the 5 days time period also. I'm not sure about the exact percentage, but in quite a few episodes, there were multiple tests still ordered, regardless of whatever the results showed in the initial samples.
Okay.
No, but actually you did show that data. That the first test was negative in his sample, then the second test was positive 8% of the time, and then if the first two samples were negative, the third test was positive 3% of the time.
I was asking no, but question, which was, if the first one was positive, how many of those had subsequent tests ordered regardless of whether they were positive?
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, I think I have that number somewhere in there, but I'm not sure about how many times that happened. But it did happen a significant number of times, for sure. Yeah. Yes.
What should I say? I can tell you that the costs of having CDF times 3 costs our health system over $150,000 next. So it gives you a monetary value to that. Percentage wise, I believe that it was like 40%. Something like that around it. Okay.
Actually, I work very closely with Roshan on this project, and you know, he helped me a great deal with the statistical analysis. So probably he remembers more than what I do.
What the excess costs are for the testing.
Right.
But it also is important to balance to know what the benefit is. So what is the cost of missing a diagnosis of C. difficile if you did not do an extra test?
That is actually a very good question. And in clinical practice, yes, you cannot afford to miss this diagnosis. And that's why if you look at my conclusions, I'm not saying that the times 3 should not be ordered at all. What I'm saying is it should not be routinely ordered in every single patient. Because there are certain risk factors which I did not talk about, like, you know, the advanced age, the use of proton pump inhibitors, low serum albumin, you know, the hospitalizations coming from the nursing home, taking antibiotics, all those kind of things. So I think it would be more prudent that, you know, you look at those risk factors and you know, and then based on that, try to ascertain the pretest probability that what are the chances of this person having C. diff. And based on that, you can actually order as many tests as you want based on your clinical thinking. That's where the science becomes an art, you know. But as the routine use, I think, you know, I have demonstrated very clearly should be avoided. But yes, you cannot afford to miss this diagnosis because it can be, you know, it is associated with significant mortality, especially when there is severe colitis. Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Does Dr. Arpit Misra arrive? Okay, so we have a little extra time as well. Since our third presenter is not here.